Next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Jana Jones with us in studio. And you just said that you live in Idaho Falls here. I thought that, you know, I was insulted that you didn't listen to the program.
Yes, that's right. I'm from Idaho Falls, still live there.
Let's talk a little bit about you. Why are you running? And we'll just start with that. When I get excited, I ask 27 questions here.
Uh-huh.
And let's just keep it simple. Why are you running for this title?
Very simple. It was a hard decision to come to run again because I did run in 2008.
Very close, yeah.
Right. And having watched what's gone on the last 8 years, the introduction of the Luna laws, the reduction in funding for our schools, I'm a product of Idaho Public Schools, born and raised here. My husband is as well, so are my three daughters. And I now have grandchildren who are going to Idaho Public Schools. And I want them to have the same opportunities that Ross and I had, that our daughters had. And when I took a look at schools and what was going on, you know, I was concerned about my grandkids, but then I started looking, going, you know, and I want this for all of Idaho's kids. We need to get this back on track. We need to do what's best for our kids and stay focused on that and make it a priority. And I believe I have the background knowledge and skills to make that happen.
Well, and we appreciate you being here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Personally, let's ask you an inward question, because it was so close in 08. Any regrets that you could have done more and perhaps prevented the Luna laws and prevented some of these issues that have happened during your time away?
We worked really hard during the last election, and I think we did everything humanly possible at that point in time to come out, work hard, and get the electorate to vote. So I have no regrets about anything that we did or did, you know, and don't even worry about what we didn't do. As far as being engaged since I left.
But you got to look at it and go, man, if I would have won.
Oh, believe me, personally.
Yeah, from a personal level.
From a personal level, sure, because I felt bad what happened to the State Department of Education, who we had worked so hard to build to be strong and supportive of our districts, and that was undermined immediately. And then to watch what's happened to our public schools overall the last 8 years has been very devastating. And so, yeah, personally, that's very hard to watch and to take, knowing how strong and good Idaho schools can be. And there is such great potential out there. And our teachers are great, our school administrators, our local school boards, and they've just had their tools taken away from them to continue down that path. And but as far as engagement, I continue to be engaged at a personal level at home. You know.
Sure.
So.
No, I'm with you at 580KIDO. Many critics say, both Republican and Democrat, that our schools are broken. Yet, whether it's Idaho Falls or Pocatello or Coeur d'Alene or in Boise, we have a lot of successes.
Absolutely.
So where do you, as someone who is a product of Idaho education, you've got kids and grandkids invested in the system, your take on where we are, we keep hearing 50th here, 49th there, your thoughts?
I don't believe our schools are broken, but I believe our schools are hurting. I believe our schools, you know, I was talking to a school board member in Coeur d'Alene recently, who shared with me that he's gone back and looked at their budgets for the last 10 years. And since 2008, they're operating on $4 million less than they were originally, you know, in 2008. And as a result, they've had to pass supplemental levies, which now constitutes 27% of their school budget.
Well, we see that everywhere, these supplemental levies.
Right. We have 94 school districts who have passed those. And what he shared with me is our needs are great. The resources we have to meet them are not there. And if we can't pass a supplemental levy that's been passed on to our taxpayers now at the local level, we're going to be in a real world of hurt.
Well, where does that money come from? And we have a lot of people. We have a great contributor of this program, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who is frustrated because his grandson has to get his cannot take a textbook home. And they, you know, textbooks, when we went to school, you had your textbooks, whether they were in good condition or not, and you took them home and you did your homework. But if you do that, you have to check them out like the library. And this is in, you know, Boise or Meridian or what mm-hmm. have you. So as someone who is running for the state school superintendent, what can you do to make sure that doesn't happen? I mean,
well, a lot of those decisions are local school board, local district decisions. But as a state superintendent of public instruction, what I believe and feel very strongly about, the role of the state superintendent is to be that number one advocate for our kids in our schools. And that's what I would be. And in doing so, you're working with the legislature, you're working with the State Board of Ed, you're working with the governor's office, and you're explaining and sharing with them how important it is that we have the resources necessary. And, you know, I know that just having money does not equate to a quality education, but the things that fund a good, strong educational system do cost money. And number one is teachers, because the thing that makes a difference in kids and in being good in school is a great quality teacher who's there every day supporting them. To have access to technology and have it work in our
sure.
schools, have up-to-date school textbooks. You know, I've heard districts say, you know, they're using textbooks that are, you know, 15, 20 years old. Our society changes so quick now, you know, having textbooks that old, they're not up to date. So they have to find other resources that they can give to kids to use.
Sure. So as a Democrat in a highly Republican state, can you make the case? You came close, you know, what was it, 8 years ago, 4 years ago, 20
eight,
years ago,
eight years ago.
Time flies. can you make that case, considering people might just look at the R and go all the way down?
Absolutely. You know, we've had 8 years of governor, legislature, and state superintendent who are all from the same party, and look where we are.
Now, the governor says he's done a good job in education.
Well, you know, if you take a look at where our where we stand in almost every indicator of quality education, Idaho is not doing really well. Have we made great efforts in our staffs and our school districts and our school boards doing everything they possibly can? Absolutely. But are they hurting? Yes, they are really hurting out there. And so I think having a new perspective is absolutely critical. And I know people say, oh, it'll be difficult for you. Well, I've had many, many years. Most of my career has been working with the Idaho legislature, starting in the 1980s when I was advocating for child care. So I know the people who are there.
Right, but on one hand, you could have the Republicans that they're going to keep their majority. And let's say the governor is reelected, and all of a sudden you come up with a budget, and they go, hey, that's not going to fly. You as a Democrat, how can you handle that when you'll have people like me calling you a lib or something like that because you're tax and spend? That is an issue that they'll probably use against you, ma'am.
Well, tax and spend is not in my vocabulary. I'm fiscally conservative. I've been a business owner. I know how important it is to make every dollar count and every dollar work. What my intention is to bring a coalition of folks together that I'll work with throughout the entire tenure of my being superintendent, where I would have bipartisanship representation from the state, local, and county elected officials. I would have parents, teachers, school administrators, school board members, businesses, all coming together and making those decisions as a group.
Right.
What are the best policies for Idaho's kids? What do we need as far as resources to do it? So when we go to the legislature or when we go to the state board with proposals, it won't be Janet Jones, Democrat, standing up there. It'll be Janet Jones, superintendent, with these educational stakeholders who all agree this is what's best for Idaho's kids.
We go to Garrett in San Hollow at 580KIDO. Hello, Garrett.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congratulations on the Marconi, Kevin.
Thank you, brother.
My question is, I know that you just said just a minute ago that it's not all about money, but that seems to be the major topic, and I was wondering what portion of the state's budget you think is appropriate to set aside for state education. We're already spending over 51%. Mr. Luna's proposed another $94 million. And so I just, what portion is going to be enough to fund all of these programs that, I mean, is it going to be, you know, that's just K-12 is 51%. That doesn't count higher education. So, you know, we're approaching 65%, and there's a lot of other things that we could be spending those tax dollars on.
That's a great question, Garrett, because I feel very strongly that we've never clearly defined what constitutes that basic education program that we can make sure that all kids across the state, regardless of where they live, get. And so my proposal and what I plan on doing as state superintendent is bringing that group together to say this is absolutely the bare bones minimum of what every district requires in order to keep the, you know, lights on and buses running and keep quality teachers in our buildings. And then in doing that, also identifying what is that stable source of funding. Because when we lost our property tax leg of the three-legged stool that used to fund public education, it put things kind of in a bad place for us.
Yeah, and so when we look at that, though, is there anything specific that you can say towards what those base standards are? What are the things that we need in these schools to provide that education? Are there things that you, when you look at this, I know it's a big picture thing and every district is different, but there are things that you can see that can be trimmed? Because I think that 51% of the budget is a lot of money for K-12. You see what I'm saying? Where are we falling short on this education that everyone keeps talking about, that our kids aren't getting the education they need? But it's not a money thing in my mind. I think that money is being misappropriated on the local level, maybe, or whatever, statewide. Are there things that you see that could be trimmed to where that 51% would cover all those needs?
I don't think we've ever clearly defined that, but I do know that in working with our local elected school board officials and working with school districts and even communities, everybody needs a certain amount of resources in order to have their buildings work, to have access to technology or technology in their classroom. I don't have the exact answer because I don't think it should come top down. I think it should come from our districts. The thing, though, that I think is really important that we in Idaho come to an agreement on, or at least I would like everyone to consider, is that our kids need to be our number one priority. And education is the way that we keep our kids as a priority. In order to get new businesses into Idaho, in order to have our state have a strong economy and stay there, we need a strong education system. I was just in Driggs, Idaho, talking to the mayor this week, and he shared with me the number one barrier to economic development for his small community is education, because he can't get businesses to come there, and people don't want to move their families to Idaho because they don't feel like we care about our kids.
Garrett, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 580-5436, let's get you to traffic.
580-KIDO and Tway Travel are getting ready to send you on an incredible trip. Be listening for details soon on 580-KIDO.
580-KIDO, Janet Jones with us, candidate for state school superintendent, superintendent of public instruction. That is the right title.
You're correct.
An educator. You'd probably correct me on that, so self-correction here.
I promise I won't correct you.
I appreciate that. We get a lot of that here. Phone number is 580-5436. We have a young lady Facebooked us saying, you know, you have a lot of people that live in one district, but their kids go to another. Is it possible, is this in your jurisdiction, if elected, to require these folks that if they're, you know, live in Meridian, they send their kids to Boise to pay taxes to Boise schools?
The way that that works is that it really is done at the local level, not at the state level, that if a parent is accepted or can move their child to a different district, to either work it out between the two districts if there's going to be an exchange of resources for that student or not. And I think it's best if it remains at a local level and that we're not doing it from the top down.
We go to Blair in Boise at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Blair.
How are you, Kevin?
Great.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
Congratulations on the Marconi.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, so my question is, the educational studies that I've seen seem to indicate that money really isn't the big factor in education. It's parental involvement. So my question for your guest, and I really appreciate her for coming on, is how do we increase parental involvement?
That is a great question, and you're right, the money isn't the only answer to education and how we improve education. And you're right when you talk about parental involvement and how it does have a strong impact on how kids do in school. The thing is, you know, we don't want to have government mandating how parents are raising their kids or how involved they are. The thing that we can do in our public schools, and they work very hard at doing, is to engage parents in any way they can. They have nights like a math night at school where parents can come to school and learn about what they're doing in math. They have ways for parents to volunteer in the classrooms. But in our society now, we have so many parents that are working outside of the home that finding new ways to engage parents and engage them with their kids and help them with their homework or do other kinds of activities that support the school so that the kids can see that their parents are partnering with the schools. I think we need to do a better job at the school district level to find ways that we can engage parents meaningfully without them having to impact their work situations, because many of them just flat out can't get time off to volunteer or to help out at schools that way.
Right, and you have a lot of people doing fundraisers. Blair, thank you for the call here. Let's go to a couple more questions from our friend, let's see, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, saying, how can we, the superintendent of schools, address the crisis in our secondary schools regarding lack of funding so that our schools can go back to purchasing textbooks or other materials, software that will allow parents and guardians to tutor the children at home? Many students don't have textbooks issued, and so when they take their math and other homework home, their parents have no resource materials to refer to in order to help their children with their homework.
Well, that's been a resource issue that our school districts since 2008 have really been struggling with, is having resources to purchase up-to-date textbooks and have enough textbooks for students to be able to, like when we went to school,
right,
have books that we carried home. So as a state superintendent, again, what we can do is advocate for those resources so our districts have can, at the local level, make those choices. I agree. Parents need to have, in order to support their students, they need to have access to what the students are learning. I know many of our districts on their websites have parent portals where parents can go in and actually see the teacher lesson plans. We need to do more of that. But then we also have families who don't have technology in their homes. So for those families who still care and want their kids to do best, we need to have other methodologies, including letting them send their textbooks home. But again, it's a resource issue for districts, so they end up limiting sending textbooks home or every child having their own book at that point in time.
Let me hit you with this. This is from Jim and Star at 580KIDO. Can you ask why private schools do more with less and public schools continue to ask for more money?
Well, we have no evidence that that, in fact, is true and that that happens because we don't have access to what resources private schools have, that sort of thing. And they depend heavily on a lot of fundraising they depend heavily on people contributing, you know, through other methodologies to their schools. So while they're not maybe getting the state dollars, they do depend on the families and benefactors to support their schools in order for them to operate efficiently. So I just have not seen any evidence that private schools can do more with less.
Let me hit you with this here at 580KIDO. Do you believe the newest proposal by the current State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Luna, for tenured certification, the tenured track?
The tiered track?
Thank you. See, I thought you weren't going to correct me. It's good that somebody here is paying attention to the news.
Well, tenured has a different connotation for many people.
But you know where I was going, so thank you.
I knew exactly where you were going. The tiered track is an the intention of doing tiered licensure is to elevate the profession of teaching, and that we through doing that we get better teachers.
I understand the propaganda. They threw that in Ohio 20 years ago.
Right.
So I have to ask you, do you support that?
Right, I support the concept, but I do believe that where they are right now in Idaho, that we haven't got it right yet.
See, I think there's
so much controversy out there right now. I think we need to slow down, take a look, and say, what do we really want to happen? And
I haven't seen a state where it's worked. I think it's propaganda by the state school superintendent to appeal to his base, based on the fact that, you know, you have people, oh, we're going to get rid of the bad teachers. I mean, this isn't going to get rid of the bad teachers. This is affecting teachers. If you come in, okay, what, you get the learner's permit, then you're a professional. And allegedly, if you're a good person and your administrators like you, then you get the master's certificate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, let's focus on the real issues as opposed to this.
Right. Well, and I think if it is going to improve academics for our kids, improve outcomes for our kids, and we can do it in a meaningful way, then I'm all for it. But if there is no evidence out there that shows that this is going to make a difference, we shouldn't be spending our time here.
But you know how teachers are. They're not going to like this. They're going to look at it as a slap in the face.
Well, right now it feels that way to them.
Oh.
Because when they came to the table originally with the governor's task force, they were on board for working on a licensure and a career ladder process that would help them as teachers become better. We adopted in this state an evaluation process that really is a way to improve teaching and for teachers and school administrators to work together to identify strengths and where they need to work in a very positive way. I think we need to continue to look at those things.
Right.
But I think right now with where we are in the process, we need to just slow it down and really make sure that everybody's in agreement on what we're trying to do here.
Let's quickly at 580KIDO go to Heather in Caldwell with Kevin Miller. Hello, Heather.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to say I'm not sure exactly what kind of proof and evidence you're looking for, but at grade 7 and 10, my kids just transitioned this year to public school from private, and I have to tell you, I am appalled at the disparity in education standards. My daughter went from a C student, deserved, to an A student in public. They have no textbooks. They have no resources. And, you know, financially, it was a necessity for our family, but I am truly just aghast at the difference. So, you know, in the private school they were at, their textbooks were 10 years old in some subjects, and they supplemented, you know, the updates. But they had textbooks, and they had high standards. And my son is, I don't know what kind of proof you want. I don't know what kind of proof you want, but the private schools are doing more with less. And our public schools, quite honestly, I've been paying into them now for 10 years and only this year utilizing the benefits and having my kids there, and I am just appalled at what the standard has been set for them in the last 2 months that I've experienced them. So I just appreciate your feedback on that.
All right, Heather, thank you for the call. Can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
All right, more coming up next at 580KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Jana Jones with us, candidate for State School Superintendent of Public Instruction. See, now you've got me all flustered.
I'm sorry.
It's
I didn't
okay
mean to do that.
That's okay. More phone calls here as we talk about education. Actually, you wanted to respond to Heather from Caldwell, who was talking about the state of private education, which a lot of people, you know, we get a lot of heat. We do our Promote Our Schools, Secure Our Future program. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union, for sponsoring it. But we get a lot of heat from a lot of parents who send their kids to public or private schools, say, look, my taxes support the public education. The kids aren't getting the training that they do in private education. These issues need to be exposed. So you have Heather talking about taking her kids from private school to public school and the shock, and she wanted to get your reaction to the conditions at public education in some places.
Sure. And I appreciate what Heather had to say. And as far as, you know, what I was trying to say is that we just don't know what private schools spend on their kids. As a person who lives in this state, I don't know what is spent on kids or within those public schools, but she's right as far as how hard it's been for our schools to have the resources that they need for her kids to be able to be successful. What she was talking about as far as access to textbooks. We have raised our expectations for our kids. We need to continue to do that, and we will continue to do that. And as state superintendent, I intend to work really hard to make sure that our kids, when they leave Idaho, are well-prepared. They don't have to have remediation when they go to college. And working in partnership with our local districts, we can do that. And we've just not had the eye on the ball in moving us where we need to be going.
We go to the phones and we go to, okay, Jim and Star emails, and now he calls. I don't know if that's a double jeopardy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for bringing this topic up because it definitely needs to be talked about on the airways. And, Janet, you know, you just actually let the cat out of the bag. You just said again, you have no idea what private schools take to fund their students, what it takes to operate them. So if you have no idea on that subject, how can you speak against the fact that private schools are far superior to the public schools with a fraction of the money that's used to do it? And I tell you this, Heather's story, Kevin, that was just on, Heather's story is the same story being told over and over. Unfortunately, economically, we're in a tough spot all through the country, especially here in Idaho. We can feel it. And people are having to put their kids in public school because they don't have any money because we're taxed through the gills and we're broke. And they're having to take this reluctantly, take their students and put them in public schools. And their students in public schools, Jana, are like Albert Einstein geniuses. And they don't know what the heck they're doing wrong. Well, I'll tell you what they're doing wrong. It's people like you, and you think money is the answer. And let's simplify things, go back to the way that education is supposed to be, and stop thinking it's a money thing.
That's quite a run-up, bud. Did you get a breath in there at all?
It's not the money. I'm so sick of people like Jana. And, you know, God bless you if you're a nice lady and stuff, but, geez, I mean, your type of thinking got our country in this hole it's in.
Well, let's let Jana respond to you there, Fireball Jim from Star.
And, yeah. Jim, you know, I appreciate what you're saying.
A lot of passion there with Jim, though.
There is. There is.
And he reflects the constituency out there.
Sure he does. And I am not bashing private schools ever. And I think it's absolutely critical that our families have choices and that private schools are a great option and they do great things for kids. And,
No. You're missing my point.
I understood your point, but I want to make sure you understand that what I was trying to say is I'm not bashing private schools. Not in the least.
I never thought you were, Jana. What you're not getting is the critical component is private schools have a process that actually works and it actually funds itself. And you made it sound like a bad thing that we have fundraisers at a private school.
Absolutely not.
We just had a chili feed and raised a bunch of money and the kids had a great time and square dance and did all kinds of cool stuff like young kids are supposed to do. And the kids at the private school, they actually look decent. Their hair's combed. They're wearing nice clothes. They don't look like a bunch of slobs in their pajamas.
All right, Jim. Thank you for the call here. You know, here's one thing that I will say, having been an educator. The public schools get everybody.
Right.
the federal government mandates, you know, and that's the difference between charter schools and public schools and others. The charter schools or the public schools, you get everybody. And when it comes to labeling, when it comes to other issues, you can't just say, well, I'm sorry, you're disruptive, you're out.
There right.
So that's a challenge that public schools have. But your response to Jim's passion here.
Well, I appreciate his passion, and I appreciate what he was saying about public schools, and I'm not bashing the private schools, and I'm not bashing that they do fundraisers. I think it's absolutely essential, and we do it in public schools as well, and we've been doing it for a long time. So I don't want to be misunderstood, but you're correct, Kevin, when you're talking about in public schools. And that's what I celebrate about our public schools, too, is that we take all kids, regardless of politics, regardless of income, regardless of background, abilities or disabilities. I mean, we take all kids, and I celebrate that because we're giving all children that opportunity. And that's how we improve our well-being as a state, is that we have a good, well-educated youth. And being able to turn that around for some kids and is absolutely essential. And our school teachers do it every single day. And so I think it's important that we understand that there's room for everybody all kinds of schools.
It's figuring out how to pay for it. We go to Craig in Boise at 580KIDO. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. Good morning, dear guest, Jana. I have some significant differences and disagreements with your approach. Let's just take the last topic first. There are kids in the Meridian School District that I'm aware of that basically are sitting in wheelchairs, drinking through straws, taking up thousands and thousands of dollars of the resources every year. Those children are never going to meet the utopian point of view that we're all on a level playing field, that everybody's going to go ahead and everybody's going to be wonderful and it's all going to be fine. They're not. They're not going to be contributing members. They're not going to be sitting around writing Gone with the Wind or whatever. We have to stop putting resources into kids that will not be able to function in society. They are going to be dependent. This isn't going to happen. I don't know where this philosophical stuff is coming from. It sounds, but it's not going to work. On the second point, that what Jim was talking about, I have a daughter who goes to Bora. In the music room, there's a touchscreen whiteboard. Those are very expensive. It hooks up to a computer. It's very cool.
Sure.
Very nice stuff. You know, I appreciate it.
Well,
however, 2 years ago, there's a $15 million bond passed in the Boise School District. We're out of money. We're broke. We need money. It's for the children. Is that what we're spending our money on? Nobody sat around and said, we need to really audit what we do. We need to understand what we do, not just right. Go ahead and go, look, a cool new toy.
Craig,
this is ridiculous.
All right, Craig, thank you for the call. Why don't we take a minute? We'll get you to answer Craig's comments here because, again, a lot of this is federal mandates and federal money. And that does, I mean, full disclosure here, I mean, you can't come in and be the czar of education all of a sudden, stop mainstreaming and other issues. These are federal mandates, correct?
They are federal mandates. And quite frankly, we live in a society where people are very different, including people who travel in wheelchairs, kids with disabilities, individuals. And we as a community, I think the thing that our public schools do is help us understand how to be good citizens and how to be accepting of people who are different. And those kids bring to our schools, that this gentleman was referring to, bring to our schools some compassion, but also we do provide those kids with opportunities to improve and be the best that they can be given their circumstances. And they're entitled to that public school system. Yes, it is a federal mandate. But I know when I went to school, we didn't have a lot of kids who were different in our schools.
Right. Mainstreaming wasn't there.
Right. They didn't do it. And
I guess balancing the cost of that, the benefit that you've spoken about, balancing that with the cost. Let's get back to that in a second, shall we?
Sure.
Here you thought we were just going to hang out and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm having a good time.
Okay. Quickly to traffic at 580.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Jana Jones with us. Final thoughts here as you get back on the campaign trail. A lot of passion here in the on the Miller program.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate hearing from your listeners and getting their thoughts on and their passion and their real concern about what's going on in public education. Back to Craig's last question, I agree that if we're going to have technology in our classrooms, if a teacher has a smart board in their classroom, which is a great piece of technology, it needs to be utilized by those teachers. But what I'm hearing is over the last few years, they haven't had the professional development in order to know how to use it effectively. And if it's not going to be used, well, first of all, we should be looking at, do they really need it in their classroom? Not all teachers are going to utilize it, and if they're not going to, then let's not put it in there. And then if they are going to, then let's make sure they know how to use it and use it effectively and that the kids have access to it so they can use it effectively. But I'm real excited to be running for state superintendent. Just to wrap this up, I believe I have the experience, knowledge, and background to really turn things around, get us back on track and doing what's best for our kids here in Idaho, and can do it in a way that Sure. people can be proud and that they won't feel like they're taxes are being misused.
Your website quickly?
JanaJonesForIdaho.com.
You're listening to 580KIDO, time for traffic. And Jana, we appreciate you being here. Good luck on the trail.
Thanks for the invitation, and I enjoyed being here as well. And thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you. You're listening to 580KIDO.